Never leave home without it. That's the message that we've been talking about. And this has to do with the Holy Spirit. And understand, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. But what we're really talking about when we say never leave home without it, we're talking about God's power. This is based on the fact that Jesus literally commanded his disciples to receive God's power. It wasn't an option. He's telling them, you need to receive God's power. You can't do what I've called you to do without my power. That's what God was letting them know, all right? Now, Luke chapter 24, verse 49, this is our base scripture. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. I have, you know, spent the last few weeks just kind of giving you some little nuggets here and there, and we're talking about that there are several things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Number one, he convicts of sin, and we said, thank God he convicts of sin. It is a miserable life to go through life and your conscience is not working, to go through life and your conscience is broken, to go through life and you do stuff and you don't feel guilty about it. You know what they call people who just do stuff, wrong stuff, and don't feel guilty about it? Anybody have any idea? They call them psychopaths. And so many of us, whether we realize it or not, kind of become kind of psychopathic in the sense that we can indulge in sin and not even feel guilty about it. Why? Because we shut off the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But thank God the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and we ought to always listen to that. Don't silence his voice. Number two, we said the Holy Spirit regenerates us by his power. He keeps us alive, but not just physically, but spiritually. He regenerates us. You know, you're going to go through tough times in life. You know, life is full of mountains and it's full of valleys. And you're going to go through tough times. You know, anybody that told you that if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be fine and you're never going to have trouble, they lied to you. They lied to you with the biggest lie they could tell. Your trouble just started when you come to Jesus, because now you're not going with the flow. Now you're like a spotted salmon, like a salmon swimming upstream. And so you're going against the flow. It's easy to go with the flow. But when you come to Christ, now you're going against the flow. And so, I mean, all of your friends are going the other way. Most of your family's going the other way. I mean, you got all this stuff happening that's going to try to discourage you. But the Holy Spirit is there to recharge you and to give you what you need. When you feel like quitting, he gives you the energy and the drive to say, you know what, I'm going forward. I'm not going to stop. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit, number three, the Holy Spirit also lives in us. There's never a time when he doesn't live in his people. We're not alone no matter where we are, no matter where we go. He is with us, and we can take great, great comfort in that. And then we said, number four, the Holy Spirit seals us, marking us as his own. Not only is he putting his mark on us, but his seal also is his authorization that he gives us. You know, we said that a king's seal is a king's authorization. So when he seals us, that means when devils see you, they better part like the Red Sea when you come walking through. Amen? Because that seal, God's seal, is upon you. And I encourage you, if you didn't hear all those other messages about these things, go ahead and go back and listen to those messages on our Church of the Promise YouTube page. And also they all get posted on my Facebook page. So go ahead and tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit loves to live in you. Never take him somewhere he doesn't want to go. And never have him doing things he doesn't want to do. Amen. I tell you, that's a sobering thought to me. It makes me think twice before I do anything or am tempted by anything. It makes me think twice knowing that I got to drag the Holy Spirit through all that mess. And I don't want to do that. Amen? All right, so he seals us. He marks us as his own, that he authorizes us. And we also said that, number five, the Holy Spirit teaches us. And so that anointing that we receive, 1 John 2:22, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you shall have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So as we said last week, the anointing teaches you, but that doesn't mean there's not a need for teachers. Because the Bible has literally raised up teachers within the body of Christ. And so, but what the Holy Spirit does for you, the way he teaches you, is he enlightens the word and he makes it come alive for you, and you get what you call, what's called a rhema word. But not only that, the Holy Spirit, through the gift of discerning of spirits, shows you whether something is true or not. Just because a preacher preaches it doesn't mean that it's right. The Holy Spirit will give you a check. The Holy Spirit, I've had it happen many times, like, no, something's wrong there. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. So he teaches us. He lets us know what is true and what is not. Now we come to a new point here, and it's tied to the last one. Point number 6 is that the Holy Spirit reminds us again and again what he taught us. So he doesn't just teach us, but he reminds us again and again what he taught us. Now, how many of you have had something that you learned? Maybe the Holy Spirit taught you something specifically, but you kind of get into a situation and you forgot what he said. You forgot what you had learned. Well, the Holy Spirit will bring that back up to your memory. It'll bring it back up to when you need it, it'll be there. Amen? And it's a beautiful thing that he does. Now, let's talk about this. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You know, I love that God knew, because of our finite brains, he knew that, you know, we to some degree, our bodies are somewhat faulty. He knew that he was going to have to remind us of something. Now, how many of you parents have ever had to remind your kids or grandkids of something you'd already told them before? Now, sometimes it's not because they forgot. Sometimes it's that they're choosing not to remember. And sometimes it's the same with us. Jesus even said several times, he said, don't you remember when I was with you, when I said this? Don't you remember, to his disciples, don't you remember when this happened, when I said this? So, aren't you glad that he just keeps on reminding us? My pastor, Pastor Mike, says this, and you've heard me say this before, most of you, that if you wonder, men, if you wonder what the Holy Spirit sounds like, he sounds a lot like your wife. And I can agree with that, because my wife has to remind me of stuff all the time, right? So, again, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit keeps reminding us? I know that I need a lot of reminders along this journey in life. And so he reminds us always from his word, and anything that he reminds us of, he's never going to go against his word with. It's always going to be in line with his word. So thank God he's a reminder. Tell your neighbor, Holy Spirit, reminiscence. Never leave home without it. All right, number 7, the Holy Spirit guides and directs our steps. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I have several scriptures for you here. For all who are led, everybody say led. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of church people, instead of being led by the Spirit, we try to lead the Spirit. Right? That's why I'm always talking about prayer. Be careful how you approach a prayer life, because most people approach a prayer life based on me telling God what I want God to do, instead of finding out from God what he wants to do and me coming into agreement with that, all right? And so we are led by the Holy Spirit, and when we're led by the Holy Spirit, our prayer is also going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Again, we all have, you know, we may have desires, goals, things like that that we set for our life. But the only thing that God is going to establish in our life is that which comes from his heart and his desire. That's why he gives us, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't just mean he just gives you whatever your carnal heart or head can come up with in life. No, he literally gives you the desires. He puts the desires in your heart, and you begin to believe and desire those same things that he wants. All right, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Anybody ever had the Lord tell you to do something? And you said, Lord, that don't make any sense. That's the story of my life. Every move, every major move, especially that the Lord has ever told us to do, did not make good sense up here. I mean, it did not make good sense when God told me to quit working outside of the plants and allow the church to give us a salary when the church didn't have money to give us a salary. That didn't make any sense until we actually obeyed with a lot of coercion from the Lord. We actually obeyed, and the moment we obeyed and allowed literally the first salary check that we ever received from this church, literally the finance of this church doubled that week and never went back. As a church, we operate debt-free. Only God could do that. I mean, if you were there at the beginning, you would understand what I'm saying. I mean, we had nothing, and God stepped in, right? But it happened by him directing our heart to do something. The beginning of that, the beginning of us owning any property or having anything as Church of the Promise started when, I remember, we went to a meeting, a revival meeting, and we hardly had any money in the bank account. The church did. We had $59 and some change. Some of y'all remember this story. We had $59 and some change, and God said, you know, if it ain't going to meet your need, then it must be your seed. And so we owed bills. We had missionaries that we had said we're going to support. We had $59 and some change in the bank account. And God said, when you go to that service, take a check and give the entire amount down to the penny. Everything you have in a bank account, give it in the offering. Well, can I tell you that didn't make sense to me? But I did. And literally that week, somebody walked up to me and handed me a card and said, God told me to do this. And this guy wasn't even a Christian. He didn't go to our church. He didn't go to any church. But he comes and hands me a card with it and said, God told me to give this to you. He said, you'd know what to do with it. And it was $1,000. Then I get a phone call. Somebody says, hey, what's the church's address? I need to send something. Okay, I gave the address. A couple days later, here comes $5,000. Now understand, it blew my mind when I realized, and I knew it wasn't for me personally, when I realized I had planted that $59 and change as seed, and literally $6,000 came back, which is a hundredfold return. And that $6,000 became the beginning of being able to get the property we have now. It came from that. It came from literally giving everything, which made no sense to me. Give everything we have. And there it was. So this isn't a message on money. That's not what my intention. My intention is to get you to understand that sometimes God will tell you to do things that make no sense to you. And as long as it's in alignment with his word, you go ahead and do it. Now, if he tells you, you know, to do something that's illegal or to do something that's immoral, well, then that ain't God talking, all right? Like I had a lady tell me, yeah, God told me to leave my husband for this other man because he wants me to be happy, and I ain't happy with him, right? Well, how many of you know that wasn't God? Didn't take long. She wasn't happy with the next guy either, by the way, just so you know. All right, Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. God never intended for us to live this life without his guidance, without his direction, without him leading us. We don't know what we're doing. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who guides and directs our steps. There have been many times in my life when I did not know what to do. God, I have no clue what to do about this situation. I have no clue what to do in this moment of my life. I don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit And sometimes the Holy Spirit, the way he works sometimes is he don't give you the whole answer at once. He just says, well, do this. Take this little step, all right? Then take this little step. I've literally had the Holy Spirit tell me at times to go to a particular location. And then at that location, meet somebody that was a key to what I was needing done in my life. It's incredible to me how that works. But when you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll do that. You know, when I used to go in San Antonio, I'd go street witnessing on the streets in San Antonio. And God I would pray, Lord, lead us to those that you've already begun to prepare their hearts to receive the seed. Lead us. And I'm telling you, God would go to this bus stop or go to this block or go to this location. And it never failed that there was somebody there that God had prepared and people would get saved. And many, many times, I can't tell you how many people who were, you know, on the verge of suicide that the Lord would minister to them and instead they get saved, or people who were sick or people who needed healing. And we'd be out on the street praying for people who needed healing. And we saw the deaf hear, and we saw the crippled walk, and we saw things happen because God would say, you go here, I have somebody prepared there for you, okay? So my point is this, if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can never go wrong. But sometimes it's going to look like you're going wrong because it doesn't make sense, amen? So again, that scripture doesn't mean that whatever happens was ordered or directed by God, by the way. I don't believe that everything that happens in this world is the will of God. Because if that were the case, none would perish. Because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But yet we know that not all come to repentance. So as much as I would love to think that God's will always gets done, God's will does not always get done because he gives us a will and he allows us to choose whether or not we're going to follow his will. So the Holy Spirit will order our steps, but that doesn't mean we always obey his orders. So it doesn't mean that whatever happens was ordered or directed by God. It means that when we get direction from him, we are acknowledging that we are his. And as we acknowledge that we are his, he will establish our steps. He gives the directions, but we decide if we're going to follow his directions or not. You know, another translation says this, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Understand, it's an order given by the Lord, but you still have to choose to follow his orders. By the way, if you fall into this whole idea like the Islamic people do, that everything that happens is the will of God, then you're saying that all the horrific, terrible things that happen to people caused by sin and by the devil himself somehow is God's fault and God's will. I don't buy that. I don't believe that. God showed us his heart. So tell your neighbor, Holy Spirit guidance. Never leave home without it. All right, I think we got time for at least one more. How about this one? The Holy Spirit is our helper. Number 8, the Holy Spirit is our helper. You know, I come from construction industry, and so in my mindset, when you think of a helper, sometimes you're thinking of someone that has lesser skills maybe. They're not a craftsman yet. They're just a helper, right? And in my mindset, that's, you know, coming out of that kind of an environment, I had to understand what it meant for the Holy Spirit to be a helper. But it does not mean that the Holy Spirit somehow is just kind of tagging with you and learning from you. No, it simply means that because he is the one who does know how to do it, he helps you. He gives you a hand up to help you know how to do it. Amen? So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So again, it's the mindset of God helps me when I can't help myself. God is my helper. He's the one that pulls me out of the pit. He's the one that throws the rope down. You know, he's the one that does for me what I cannot do for myself. So I will not fear because I've got the best helper in the world. Psalm chapter 54, verse 4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Can somebody say he helps me stay alive? Now, again, helper, This word helper, it's not in the sense of a subordinate worker, but as a master craftsman mentoring an apprentice. God will not do for you, by the way, what he has told you to do. But he will fill the gap where we're short and provide strength where we are weak. It's kind of like a spotter for a weightlifter. If you've ever been involved with lifting weights, way back, I remember my cousin and I would lift weights together, and he was a bodybuilder. He was a big old guy. In fact, he was like the Mississippi bodybuilding champion at one time. And boy, I thought it was something to be able to be lifting weights with him. But he was cruel and torturous, I want to tell you. And we laugh today. Still, when I talk to him, we laugh about it because I'd always fall for this trick. We'd work the legs real, real hard. And if you've ever done that, you know, boy, your legs feel like noodles, right? And he would always do this. They had about two steps when you go out of that building. And he would always rush to the door, and he'd open the door for me. And then when I'd go through the door, he'd push me. And I'd try not to fall as I'm going down the steps. And he'd get a big kick out of that, right? So, but when we get really, really heavy weight, I want to tell you, there were a couple of times, had he not been back there spotting for me, I probably wouldn't be here today. Because that weight bar would have probably been on my neck, all right? But that spotter helps you when you run out of energy. You do everything you can do, but when you run out of energy and you can't get that bar up that last time, that spotter's there to catch it and help you get it up where it needs to go, all right? It's kind of the same way. God has given us stuff to do, and he expects us to use what he's given us to do what we can do. But he will be there to fill the gap, to take care of what we can't do, and he will never let you down. If you're following his direction, if he's told you to do something, he will see you through. I'm telling you, he will see you through. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So that spotter is not lifting the weight for you, because that wouldn't benefit you if he was just sitting there lifting all the weights for you. But he is there to provide strength when you come to the end of your own strength. And thank God the Holy Spirit does the same. I remember years ago I was inspired by a book I read by Franklin Graham. And he was talking about, it was kind of his autobiography, and he was talking about the men of God who had inspired him in his life. Of course, his father being one, Billy Graham. But he was talking about a guy named Bob Pierce, who started World Vision. And he said Bob Pierce would do these things that just seemed so impossible. And Franklin was asking him about it. Well, how is it that you're able to do these world-changing things like this? I don't see how that's possible. And he said, well, my secret is, he called it God room. He said, I always leave God room. In anything that I'm doing, I leave God room. And he said, well, what does that mean? He said, it means that whatever it is that God wants me to do, I understand is going to be so far above my ability to get it done. But instead of lessening the vision, instead of bringing it down to what I can attain, I always leave God room between where I can attain and where only God can attain. And he said, and everything that I've ever done, as the Lord led me to do it, I made sure that that bar was set as high as the Lord wanted it set, knowing I cannot possibly do this unless God steps in. But I'll get to the end of what I can do, and every time God will step in and get it completed. That's a good principle to live by. You got to know that you're not going to be able to do what he told you to do without him. He will not do it for you, but he will supply the wisdom and the ability, and sometimes even in a supernatural way, make something happen to turn the tides, if need be, to get that thing done. Because anything God motivates us to do, he does it for the sake of people. Amen? And he loves people. So tell your neighbor, Holy Spirit's help, never leave home without it. I can't even imagine trying to live this life without the Holy Spirit's help. Can I tell you, I would be the biggest fumbling idiot, dumbbell, making wrong decisions and destroying my life if it's not for the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything God ever told me to do without the Holy Spirit's help. Pastor Cindy and I were talking, just a little side note, we were talking a couple of days ago and talking about how, you know, because again, if you know her, you know, she jumps into everything, you know, full force. When she gets into something, she's just full force. And so we were laughing, we were talking about, she says, well, you know, you asked for all this. When you married me, you know, you asked for this. You know, you didn't have to marry me. You could. And I said, you know what? I can't even imagine life without being married to you. If God had not given you to me, I would be a wreck and just nothing but chaos. She said, are you sure? Are you sure that it's not me that brought the chaos? I said, no. I understand what God did for me. And it's in the same way. Well, one of the reasons my wife is very helpful to me is because I know she tunes her ear to the Holy Spirit. And she helps me to keep mine tuned to the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing to have. But it's not because she's a wonderful woman. It's because the Spirit of God is in her life. And she takes that serious and she follows his lead. And I'm very thankful for that. Now, listen, I tell people this. You can have as little or as much of the Holy Spirit operating in your life as you want. It's totally up to you. If you want to be just a kind of a casual Christian kind of person that's just content with, well, you know, I just thank God that one day when I die, I get to go to heaven. And you can live your whole life and just waste it if that's your mindset. The church has to get beyond, I just want to go to heaven. And we got to get about our Father's business. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do that makes an impact, that makes a difference in someone's life? Because when I get to heaven, man, I want to be able to throw some crowns and some jewels down at your feet. And Lord, I need to know what you want me to do, because that's the only thing that's going to matter when it's all said and done. I can accomplish all kinds of things. I can build businesses and build homes and drive nice cars and have the popularity of people. You know, people may just love me and admire me. But if they have not been impacted in eternally by my life, then I got nothing when I get to heaven. And I don't want to live like that. I don't think you do either. So come on, let's just call out to him. Let's call out to the helper. Let's call out to the one who teaches us. Let's call out to the one who reminds us of what he taught. Let's call out to the one who guides and directs us. I have a feeling there are people in this room right now. You need his guidance right now. You need to know what it is that he would have you. You need to know right now the next step to take. Come on, go ahead and call out to him. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we need you. Fill us. We make room for you. We make room for you, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place. Lord, clear us out. Clean us out. Lord, get rid of motives. Help us to just shed those things out of our lives that don't belong. Anything that is unnecessary. Anything that harms our witness. Anything that holds us back, God. I pray, Lord, help us to get it out of our lives and fill those places, those voids. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and fill us again. We welcome you to come and fill every void and every gap. We welcome you. Lord, we want to be, as Paul said, not led by the flesh, but led by the Spirit. Lord, I thank you that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Direct our paths. Reveal your heart to us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Father, I pray, continue to fill your people, not only in this time in service, but throughout the week. Lord, fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.